In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with the one, the only, John Ash. Good morning, John Ash.
Good morning. Let me get close to the microphone.
Get closer so okay. We can hear your dulcet tones.
Oh, now I sound strong.
You're strong, vital, and vibrant. Well, Memorial Day weekend is, we know, the traditional kickoff time for barbecue season and grilling season.
Isn't it? And it came out of nowhere.
It seemed like it was cold and rainy, and all of a sudden it's 75, 85 degrees, and everyone's thinking about cleaning out all the cobwebs in their grill that they haven't used since who knows when, last October or so.
And they forgot to clean it the last time they put it away.
Well, have you looked at your green egg, your big barbecue thing recently? It's probably got some things underneath there.
Bugs.
Well, this is the time when people are thinking, having family and friends over and throwing some burgers on the grill. Nothing too elaborate yet, I don't think. And in the times that you manned the grill at your restaurant, John Ash & Company, during lunches, you probably sold a lot of burgers.
We did.
A lot of burgers.
Well, we had good burger meat, so that was a big part of it. Tasted good.
That was the key. And we have posted John's recipes for perfect burgers. Now, you go beyond just the beef burgers, because this package contains a lot of alternative burgers. I love the introduction to what you had posted, and that is, of course, there's all kinds of outrageously expensive Kobe and Wagyu beef and stuffing burgers with foie gras and wild mushrooms and truffles and braised short ribs and beef cheeks. And you write, "I confess, I'm one who likes mine in a simpler vein." And the simpler vein, meaning not that the meat is not the highest quality.
Well, possible. I think it's the idea of cooking of any kind. You can go over the top. It's like you put too much stuff on it. In it, whatever.
Well, that's been, I think, your mantra for your whole really your whole career, and that's what set you off. Is what can you take away?
Yeah, and look at where I've ended up.
Well, household name around the country. That's where you've ended up. You give a little history of the burger, where it first appeared, St. Louis World Fair, 1904. That was a big, big moment in American culinary history. And burgers have evolved, and now they're on menus, as you mentioned, from fish and birds and even vegetables. I like this. So in the spirit of ecumenism, I'll begin with what I think makes the best, juiciest, and tastiest classic beef burger, and then include recipes for my favorite fish, veggie, and bird burgers. So, secrets for a great grilled beef burger. You must have had a special grind from some local butcher that you served at John Ash & Company.
We did. Typically, as I recall now, it's so far in the past. I would try to get it ground thicker, you know.
A coarser grind.
Coarser grind, yes. Because what we get in the marketplace typically isn't. It tends to cook down a lot, and it releases more of its fat.
You don't want that. You want the fat to be kept in the burger.
You want some of it.
Some of it.
Yeah.
So you don't want a 25% and 30% fat burger.
No.
You want more 20%?
Yeah.
Do you recall what the blend was? Was it sirloin? Was it chuck?
It was always one or the other of those, because they were meatier. They had more flavor. And if you ever have a chance to do that, I mean, treat yourself. It's the weekend. You can do that.
Yeah.
Go out and try a chuck around. Get individually ground ones of those and taste them. They're different.
Side by side?
Yeah.
You mean a ground sirloin and a ground chuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
And all the other...
But get it from a butcher shop.
Yes.
If you can. Get to Willowside or Sonoma County Meat Company or whatever butcher.
We have these. We have those two especially. They're so knowledgeable about their meat and where it comes from and that they have a regular source. And
interesting, the butcher will add a certain amount of fat to that meat to bring it to those specs, that percentage.
Yeah.
You know, they're very careful about that.
Yes. although a lot of people will typically add more. It'll have more fat in it than the 85% fat.
Yeah. But then if you have too much fat, then it all just drains out.
It's, yeah.
It won't keep in the burger. So 80%, look for that. Now, what about seasoning? A lot of confusion and difference of opinion.
Keep it simple. I think salt and pepper are the best. And the other thing I like, if I want to put a little extra in, is a little good soy sauce.
Soy sauce.
Just not a lot, but just underneath. And it seems to... brings up the umami character.
I think also where people go wrong is they overhandle it.
Yes.
It's gentle. You should be very gentle. It seems like
a burger. Smash it all together.
Yeah, they mush it and they're pounding it and doing all that.
So wet your hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just loosely pack it.
Yeah, wash your hands first.
Well, wash your hands. Good idea. And then now sometimes, I know you talked about making the burger a little thinner in the center. Mm-hmm. Do you use your thumb to kind of depress
it?
What do you do?
Yeah, you can, your thumb is fine. And what it does is it, as the burger cooks, the very center of it, that part that's there thickens. Mm-hmm. And so this way you end up with a burger that's a little more evenly, it has more. What's the word?
That's why you want this to be even approximately from edge to edge. And about, 4 inches or so?
Yeah.
Is that what burger?
And part of it is that it's the antithesis of the smash burger, which I never understood.
They're really popular.
I know.
Another thing, do you bring that meat to the grill room temperature, warm, or straight from the fridge? You want it cold?
I think it's better to... bring it cold.
Cold?
Yeah.
And because
it doesn't...
It keeps the fat firm.
Yeah, and it doesn't... The chances of it overcooking are...
Okay, so there's some really easy-to-remember tips that'll make a big difference right away. Do you salt and pepper again before putting that burger on the grill?
I do.
Yeah.
I find that that extra salt... And salt, especially, is critical to making a good burger.
Okay.
You know, you see people that don't do that or wait till the end, I guess is what you're referring to. Don't do that.
Don't do that. So there we go. We put our burger on there. We're waiting to know when to turn it. You kind of just eyeball it. I mean, I look at like 3 or 4 minutes for rare, maybe 5 minutes for medium rare. How did you determine? You cooked thousands of burgers.
The best way, I mean, if you really want to be careful, if you've spent a good amount of money for meat to do things, is to get yourself an instant read thermometer.
Okay.
And that way you have a better chance of knowing.
But then you know.
And especially if you've played around with the temperature before you put it on the grill.
Okay, but you put it on high heat, don't you?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Have all the burners going full blast.
Yeah.
And there we got them. And then you just turn them once.
Once, yeah. Right? That's one of the myths is don't keep turning them.
Some people do.
I know. It's like your pancakes or something.
But then they're going to dry out. Every time you flip them over, more juice is going to be released hitting that grill.
Yeah.
And you're not a smash person.
Yeah.
Don't smash them down. No.
Though there, I must admit, I've had some good smash burgers, and I guess the whole idea is that it's the antithesis of the turning it once only. If you keep turning them and all of that kind of stuff, they get a little crusty
A smash burger traditionally is you serve it on onions. Not on a grate plate, but on a grill plate.
And then you get all the flavor.
All the flavors of the juices in it. And then you flip that over.
Yeah.
It's a really good burger. It just depends on your preference. But this is your traditional great grilled beef burger. So we have a wonderful recipe for your classics. And then we have the fresh tuna burger.
Mm-hmm.
That became really popular all of a sudden.
It did. And that when I was still in the kitchen, a lot of stuff was it became our most popular burger.
The tuna burger.
Yeah. And that's one that you want to be careful to undercook, obviously.
And you hand-chopped the tuna. You didn't put it in a food processor,
no,
did you?
No, no. We chopped it
by hand.
By hand.
And then what kind of binding do you use? Panko or what do you
I use panko just because it was easy to deal with. And it kind of reminded you to not over-mix it.
That would prevent you from overmixing
it. Yeah, or remind you not to.
And I know in this recipe, you add a little bit of cilantro, fresh ginger, a little bit of salt, a little bit of green onion, and that's about it. But you do have to have a sharp knife to make sure you dice this in small little quarter-inch
chunks. Yeah, but it's easy. You know, tuna's easy. It's to dice.
And then onto the grill you go. You chill it, right, before you're putting it on the grill, just like with the beef.
Yeah.
And then oil, sauté pan.
I mean, the whole idea is you don't want to dry out the outside and have the inside. Although raw tuna is pretty good.
Yeah, but that's not what you're looking for here.
No.
And then you have a spicy Southeast Asian sauce that's served with that. Salmon burgers with green goddess dressing. Oh, that sounds fabulous, too.
It is good.
Do you hand cut the salmon the same way you do the tuna?
Yeah.
And
part of the reason for doing that, especially if you've bought like a side of salmon, is that it ensures or at least helps remind you again to get rid of the bones.
Beautiful. Then we have a turkey burger. We have a black bean veggie burger. Did people order that also in the restaurant? People bean burgers.
Yeah, those veg heads. You know, they're everywhere.
And you recommend a hinged grill rack for grilling these.
Yeah, for all of them. That's it's hinged.
Yeah,
obviously, that's why it's called. called a hinged grill
rack. Makes sense.
Because you can turn them easily, and you don't, especially with something like the black bean burger, which has a tendency to kind of fall apart. It keeps it together.
And we also have a shrimp burger with peach aioli. Boy, that sounds wonderful. And again, it's a little parsley, green onion, mayo, a little Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah.
I like that idea. A little hot sauce. And then this is used as panko also to keep things nice and
stuck together.
That's the culinary term I was looking for. And duck burger.
Duck burger, why not? Duck is so delicious. You know, it's rich in flavor and all of that stuff, and it's lean.
Would you use a breast?
I think so, because or we always did, because it's just so much easier to chop up a breast than it is a lamb.
And I love this. You use blanched slivered almonds, slightly toasted and chopped. In that. That's really interesting.
Well, that's the chef in me.
That's the chef. And you served it with a tahini sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Really great recipe package.
So this is fodder for the holiday.
Perfect. And not your ordinary burgers. Those recipes are there now. Grab one and spice up your Memorial Day. Also, there's got to be something for dessert, and we'll give you what John Ash's pick is for your Memorial Day dessert after this.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Every Saturday and Wednesday from 8:30 to 1, the tradition continues at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market in Farmers Lane Plaza. Spring showers bring beautiful flowers. You'll find vibrant flowers and crisp greens from Coyote Family Farm, affordable leafy greens and onions from J.M. Ibarra, and a variety of fresh mushrooms from Fidel's Gourmet Growers. Craving berries? Kem's got strawberries and blueberries just waiting for you. Farm fresh eggs? No shortage here. Saturdays in Santa Rosa. Geyserville Gourmet has pickled vegetables to brighten up any meal, or try a specialty hummus in original or garlic. And don't miss Santa Rosa Seafood, offering fresh fish every Saturday, as well as specialty salads, cioppino, and clam chowder. Restaurant quality food vendors every Wednesday and Saturday. Expanded curbside shopping service available.
Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Looking for the best place for your furry friend? Welcome to Paradise Pet Resort.
Paradise Pet Resort offers all-day play in their amazing indoor and outdoor yards with daycare drop-ins for just $42 a day, or grab a 10-day pass for only $380.
Need boarding? Enjoy a $56 a night rate, which includes daycare. Plus, no extra fees for house food or intact mails.
Your pup will love the large doggy swimming pool, and you can keep an eye on them with the webcams.
They now offer a full-service dog grooming salon for your convenience. Come take a tour of their fantastic facility anytime.
Why settle for less? The other guys charge $55 a day for daycare, and you can't even tour their kennels.
Choose Paradise Pet Resort, where your pets play all day. Visit us online or call to schedule your tour today.
Paradise Pet Resort, where tails wag and fun never ends.
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to mysonomadeals.com and click on contact. That's mysonomadeals.com and click on contact.
News anywhere. Stream KSRO from your smartphone or smart speaker. KSRO, Sonoma County's News Talk. FM, AM, and online.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, it is Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, and we're talking about the kickoff to Memorial Day barbecuing. And just in a few minutes, we're going to talk to one of the reigning experts in all things grilling and barbecue in the country. You'll be blown away by this particular book. Now, John is holding a 12-pack, you're holding an 8-carton, with 12 different varieties of cherries that were grown by Rachel Spaeth and her staff at the UC Winters Orchards, and they're just remarkable, aren't they?
They're beautiful. So you were explaining to me that these aren't necessarily, they're all gorgeous to look at, but that these particular ones aren't necessarily grown for their fruit, but more for their wood.
For their wood.
Yeah.
For commercial growers.
Yeah.
Some of them are very tasty. Some are marginal. You can understand why they wouldn't have commercial appeal. But based on that, we wanted to offer our listeners your cherry clafouti recipe for Memorial Day. Nothing could be simpler, I don't think, dessert-wise.
No.
Really simple.
Yeah.
And clafouti, a French term?
It's a classic dessert. It's one that Julia made famous by actually doing it a couple of times on her radio show, and what it is, it basically is cherries unpitted, classically. The pits are still left in it, and it's kind of a pancake batter put over the top.
Yeah, you mentioned it's a kind of a baked custard, kind of a pancake, kind of a cakey souffle almost.
Yeah.
And really, this is, you don't need to be a baker to make this.
No.
It's cherries, it's some whole milk, it's some cream, it's a vanilla bean, it's some eggs, sugar, a little bit of flour, salt, and you like to use Kirsch or other cherry brandy?
Yeah.
A little tablespoon of that or two?
Yeah, well, that's a reason to have Kirsch on hand.
And then you have some unsalted butter for the greasing the dish. You preheat the oven, 375. You put all this together, right? Just dump it all together. And then in it goes for... what, about a half hour or so, something like that?
It doesn't take long.
It
puffs up, and you top it with a little powdered sugar, and it's so good. And now that we're entering cherry season, which these beautiful cherries that Rachel brought us are reminding.
And they're just coming into the markets, and they're reasonably priced, so you just pour this custard over the cherries, and the cherries bob up and then float on the surface. It's really beautiful. into the oven, bake it for 30, 40 minutes until it's starting to puff and brown. And it, actually, it's quite good room temperature or chilled, too.
It is, yeah.
But if you wait for a few minutes, a little powdered sugar, and then you've got it. And easily can serve 4 or 6 people. Make a couple of them.
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect dessert. We'll take a break, and we will come back and chat with Meathead. That's his name, Meathead. Everything we ever wanted to know about barbecuing and grilling, this man, believe me, he has the answers.
So can I say...
It's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
License number 254603. Danny, is that you?
It's me, Aunt Laura. How could you tell? I thought I was being quiet.
I can always tell when it's you, Danny. You're my niece. Plus, you get a special bounce in your step when you've just finished a job.
Aunt Laura?
You did finish the job, didn't you, Danny?
Well...
Danny.
I did finish the job, but that's not why I have a bounce in my step. I got everything done early, so I picked up your favorite lunch on the way back.
Danny.
I know how hard you've been working, and I thought you deserved something nice.
Now I'll be walking with a bounce in my step, too. And remember, if you have drains, sinks, or water heaters...
Or a bounce in your step, remember us at Gattelli Plumbing.
Danny, this tastes especially good.
Everything tastes really good if you work as hard as you do.
Visit us online at GattelliPlumbing.com.
Not everyone who handles your personal information is as careful as you are, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the United States. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock will monitor hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity... And if your identity's stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code at LifeLock.com. LifeLock.
Listen to Dr. Walter Tom the first Thursday of the month on KSRO's Ask the Expert series from 12:30 to 1.
Dr. Walter Tom has been voted the best cosmetic surgeon every year since 2016.
His mission is to improve patient self-confidence by enhancing their self-image with advanced technology in a warm and safe environment. Listen to podcasts of the show on KSRO.com. Just click on Ask the Expert. Tune in the first Thursday of the month for Ask the Expert with Dr. Walter Tom on KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. It is the KSRO Good Food Hour, America's longest-running radio food show since 1987, entering 38 years on the air. And in all that time, we have not had the pleasure of talking with Meathead.
Wasn't there
All in the Family? Is that what you're thinking of?
Well, Meathead? There was that one, but I think there was a singer named Meathead.
Oh, I think you're right, too. Yeah. Well, that's neither of those guys. Yeah. This is the Meathead himself, probably one of the most articulate and interesting and well-read gentlemen in the world of barbecue and grilling in the country. He has an amazing website called Amazing Ribs. com, which I think has probably more subscribers and listeners and viewers than anybody else writing about ribs and grilling. He has a new book that just came out called The Meathead Method, a Barbecue Hall of Famers, Secrets and Science on Barbecue Grilling and Outdoor Cooking with 114 recipes. This is his follow-up book to his bestseller. Good morning, Meathead, and it's delightful to have you on the show.
Good morning, and the singer was Meatloaf.
Oh, Meatloaf.
Was that right? Oh, that's right. You're right. I'm sorry. My apologies.
John is apologizing to you.
To Meatloaf.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, I have to say, we have a connection.
Who's that?
I had a previous life. I used to be the wine critic for the Washington Post and the Chicago Tribune. Uh-huh. I created a business called the Beverage Testing Institute and the World Wine Championships. And then I switched to solid food around the year 2020. But I used to come out to Santa Rosa and Napa and all over wine country all the time. And I've eaten Chef Ash's food. And I've listened to your station as I drive around the mountains.
Ah.
So we have a deep connection. And we're going back to the before the year 2000. So we've all aged a bit, I think. but I switched to solid food in the year 2000. I opened this website, AmazingRibs.com, which was, I think, the first barbecue website. And it's now the biggest and the baddest barbecue website in the world with a couple of million visitors every month.
John, what impressed you about this book?
You know, I liked it for so many reasons, but part of it was that the tips, the secrets, I guess, that you talked about in here. Plus, it was easy to follow, and it didn't require a lot of exotic ingredients or any of that stuff. It was the kind of thing that, you know, I could decide on a holiday, like this weekend's holiday, that I'm going to get the grill out and see if I can do something.
Yeah.
And I could find something to do.
Well, I'm flattered you think so. The book is divided in two parts. The first part is a narrative. It's explaining, as I do in my previous book, a lot of what goes on under the hood. Now, it's the same outdoors or indoors. An outdoor grill is just an oven without a thermostat, and it's difficult to control. But I try to teach the science of barbecue and grilling. This is 2025. People have a great deal of understanding of technology and science. They carry a computer in their back pocket that's more powerful than the one that went to the moon. You can't just tell cooks today, do step one, do step two, and shut up. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to know, why do I do step one? What happens if I change step two? So I try to explain a lot of the, what is fire? What is smoke? What is protein? What are carbohydrates? What are fats? What happens when heat impacts proteins? And it's not too technical. I try to do it in lay language so that people get a sense for what's going on under the hood and how to react when things take an unexpected turn or how to plan for a dinner party or something. And it's a lot of fun. And a lot people tell me that they slap their forehead a lot while they're reading it, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what John and I were talking about earlier this week about, did you know, fill in the blank, all these Mythbusters that you include.
Oh.
And I think of myself as a pretty experienced barbecue griller. I've been doing it for 40, 50 years. John, you too, even more so than me on a professional level. Even you said, gosh, you know, I never thought about it that way. I always thought, fill in the blank, you put some water in underneath because it humidifies your meat when you're cooking it. No, another myth. Sealing in the juices, the beer can chicken, all these things you have debunked these misconceptions. That must have been a lot of fun to write.
Well, I'm just a curious cook. I'm not a professionally trained chef, but I did teach at the Cordon Bleu School here in Chicago for 3 years. But I'm just a curious cook. I want to know. And I looked at beer can chicken, And I put the beer can up the butt of that chicken, and it starts to dawn on me. He can't get into the inside cavity of the chicken. So I'm not going to brown the inside of the chicken. Well, I want to brown as much of the meat as I possibly can, because browning meat is a chemical reaction called the Maillard reaction, and it improves flavor. We all like the brown crust of a steak or a roast. We all like golden brown chicken. So why are we not browning the cavity? And then I start thinking, well, wait a minute. My chicken is done at 160 to 170, and it's tender and juicy, and the skin is crispy. But beer, which is 90% water, isn't going to boil till it hits 212.
Right.
So how is that beer going to boil and flavor the interior? And then I look at it and I say, wait a minute. That top of the beer can is just below the shoulders. Even if it did boil, where is that beer going to go? There's no super highways inside the breasts and the thighs. It can't travel the length of the chicken. All it's going to do is hit the inside of the shoulders. But wait a minute, that chicken's cold. The beer is going to condense on the cold meat. It's going to go back into the can. Why don't I weigh the can before and after? Holy cow, it weighs the same. No beer came out. So the beer can chicken, you know, everybody who cooks beer can chicken says, but it tastes great. Of course it tastes great. It's roast chicken, for crying out loud. Roast chicken always tastes great. But the beer can has nothing to do with it.
Amen to that. Use your beer can for something else. Here's something I've been doing my whole life, and it looks like I'm wrong. I always soaked my wood so I would get more. You actually knew that, for more smoke. And John,
well,
now what about you? Now let's talk to Chef John Ash. What about you, John?
I think I did the former. I would soak it first, and the theory being that it would
produce more smoke.
More smoke.
Yeah.
It wouldn't burn as fast.
Well, that's the theory. Let's think about this for a second. Do you know why they build boats out of wood? Wood doesn't absorb water. So, okay, I take some wood chunks, I weigh them, I soak them, not just for an hour or two, as most of the books say, but overnight. And then I pat the surface dry, and I weigh it again, about a 2% weight gain. And the only weight gain is because the outside of the wood is a little fuzzy, mm-hmm. and it absorbs the water. Then I cut it open. The interior is bone dry. Then I think about it. Wait a minute. Water boils at 212. If you've got a wet piece of wood, the wood can't burn and make smoke till 500. So if you throw wet wood on a charcoal or a gas fire, it's going to go up to 212. When the water boils off, then it'll go up to 500 and start smoking. So what is all that white stuff that comes off when you throw it on the charcoal? I put a mirror in it, and it fogs up. It's steam. So soaking wood actually inhibits smoke creation. So you want to throw dry wood on the fire. Now, here's something that really surprised me. I like to see lots of smoke coming out of my wood. It turns out, this I didn't figure out myself. I had to talk to the top pitmasters. They want what they call blue smoke. Blue smoke is when the particles are so small you barely see it. It's almost transparent. White smoke is bigger particles. Yellow smoke, brown smoke, black smoke, those are huge particles. You don't want any of that. White smoke tastes good. But blue smoke is the best tasting smoke when you can barely see it. How do you get blue smoke? You don't let the wood smolder. You give it lots of oxygen so it's not smoldering. You want it to burn with a yellow flame. That yellow flame is consuming impurities like, there's all kinds of stuff in lignin and cellulose. You want to see a yellow flame out of the burning wood. You'll use more wood. It'll pump up the heat.
Don't
but that's
soak
what you want to
your
get.
Wood. Don't yeah. soak your wood.
And okay. You don't need to.
And there's another one, which you know, when I used to teach all the time, it used to be my mantra, and that was, when you're cooking, you have something that you're putting, especially on a kettle grill, close the lid. Don't just stand there looking at the meat cooking away, because it's just drying out.
Well, there are several things that happen there. Your meat's going to dry out anyhow. Energy, heat, causes water to evaporate from the surface of the meat. So you can lose 20 to 30% sometimes, depending on how big a piece of meat and how long you cook it. Like you do a beef brisket, and you can lose 20 to 30%. But on a steak, for example, one of the reasons you close the lid is now you're heating it from both sides. Mm-hmm. If you take the lid off, you're heating it only from one side. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole series of tricks here for steak cooking called reverse sear. And reverse sear is a really important concept. Let's take a steak, for example. If you're cooking on a kettle, and that's the most popular grill in the world, I have one and I use it more than, and believe me, I have a lot of grills. I use it more than anything else. You want to push all your coals way off to one side. On a gas grill, you want to turn on one burner on the side, turn it on high, and leave the other burners off. You now have two heat zones. You have a hot zone over hot coals or over a flame on a gas grill. And the energy there is infrared energy, and it's really intense energy. It's like standing in the sun on a hot summer day. We know there's ultraviolet in the hot sun, but believe it or not, there's more infrared in the hot sun. You just don't, it doesn't change your skin color. Now, on the other side where there are no coals or the burner is off, that's like standing in the shade. Now, the energy there is warm air circulating, convection circulation. So you have infrared in one area and convection air in the other, and they're very different intensities. You start your steak not over the hot coals, especially if you've got a thick steak. Thin steaks, you can start them over the hot coals, quick, beep, boom, boom, boom. You're done. You get a great crust. You get it cooked inside. But a 1.5-inch or a 2-inch thick ribeye, or even a chicken, you start it on the indirect side where convection air is warming it gently. It's going to gently warm those muscle fibers. If you give it lots of heat, if you give it all she's got, Scotty, you're going to contract the muscle fibers and squeeze out juices. So you gently heat things. And then when it's almost done, you haven't browned it yet. You haven't crisped the skin yet. Now you move it over to the hot side, the infrared side, and you crisp that skin so it's like a potato chip. Flip it over, get the other side, which was the interior of the chicken, and you can nail the temperature perfectly, 160 for your breasts, 170 for your thighs and legs. And for, to do this all, you absolutely have to have the single most important tool in the kitchen, and that's a digital thermometer.
We're going to take a break.
Every
chef has them. Now most homeowners know the importance of investing in a good thermometer, don't we? And one more thing. We need to take a quick break, but here's something that I've always been doing, and I guess I won't be doing it anymore. Don't rest the meat. I always thought I needed to keep that steak for a few minutes.
That's right, to let the juices retreat.
Because to let the juices reabsorbed.
Yeah.
Not true,
well,
huh?
Well, let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
That's complicated.
Okay. Well, I know you're going to make it easy for me to understand. It's Meathead, the one and the only. His first-selling book was a New York Times Best of the Year cookbook. It was Southern Magazine is one of the best books of the year, one of the books you need to have in your culinary library. His new one is called The Meathead Method. a Barbecue Hall of Famer's Secrets and Science on Barbecue Grilling and Outdoor Cooking with 114 recipes. The book just out a couple of weeks ago. With the beginning of barbecue and grilling season, you really should have this in your collection.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you are doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just send us a text right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We're here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just send us a text.
Text REACT to 323232 right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just text REACT to 323232. Text the word REACT. React to 323232. Text REACT to 323232.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first thing they ask me, after they tell me how amazing I look, is where did you go? I want that. My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your complimentary consultation with Dr. Tom, call 707-542-8346.
Let's stay young together.
Visit Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui. Online at drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com.
Starting your own business can be challenging, and Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Dorothy Rodella, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Lawrence from Faircrest Market.
When we took over Faircrest Market, we tried out a large multinational bank, but we quickly realized we needed a more personal touch. Local people who understand our business and can make decisions right here in our community. It didn't take long to realize Exchange Bank was the solution we were looking for, and their focus on giving back to the local community aligns perfectly with our own company values.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen, and we're with Meathead. His new book, The Meathead Method, Barbecue Hall of Famers, Secrets and Science on Barbecue Grilling and Outdoor Cooking, with 114 recipes, just out a couple of weeks ago. And there's so many pithy observations, things that might even keep me up at night, and something like a grill line is a piece of meat is a sign of failure. I mean, these are the type of things. When I was last night, when I went to bed, I said, gosh, every steak I've ever had, everything I've ever barbecued has had a grill line on it. And it sounded like this could be made into a haiku. These are some of the wonderful observations that are in Meathead's book. A lot of humor, a lot of theory, a lot of science, and a lot of fun. Would you talk about, just so we can understand, why we should not rest the meat?
Well, let me come to that in a second, because I didn't quite finish the concept of reverse sear, and I want to make sure that people understand this, and then we'll talk about resting the steak or not. Remember, so we've got the grill divided in half, a hot side with infrared, a not hot side with convection airflow. You started on the not hot side, and what's happening is it's heating gently, and the muscle fibers aren't shrinking as much, so you're retaining juices. We're going to shoot for 130 to 135, where the steak is optimum tenderness and juiciness. We know this because we have machines that can measure how tender and how juicy a piece of meat is. So 130, 135, which is medium rare. which is where most of us like it anyhow. We figured it out without machines. So you bring the temperature up on the indirect side in the convection airflow, gently heating. Takes longer to cook there. Use your digital thermometer. Take it up to about 120 to 125. Now you take the lid off. You've had the lid on all this time. You take the lid off. You move it over the infrared. That's a lot of energy. It's high energy. You got holes piled deep, and you're going to sear it on one side. And again, all the books say put the meat down and leave it there. That's wrong. When you put the meat down and leave it there, the energy heats the surface and works its way towards the center. And now you get a rainbow effect. You get a brown layer, then a tan layer, then a pink layer, and finally in the center it's rosy. If you leave it there just for a minute, get a good quick sear, then flip it. The energy that was built up in that surface facing the coals now bleeds off into the atmosphere and doesn't go down into the meat. And now you flip it again, and you flip it again. What you're doing is you're cooking the inside of the meat on the indirect side in the convection airflow and the outside of the meat over the infrared, and you get that great sear, that great dark convection, the infrared sear, and the interior stays perfectly even edge to edge, bumper to bumper. Man. That's the reverse sear theory. And it works on chicken. It works on everything. It's the reverse of what you've been told all along, where you're told sear the meat in a pan, then stick it in the oven.
Mm-mm. Don't do that. Don't do that. So I want to mention also that you are not shy about recommending equipment, which I love. And on your website, which I followed for years, amazingribs.com, you talk about and review. Well, you have some experts that work for you and with you.
Yes.
Thermometers and grills. And you're not shy about this. You don't take advertising. It's really impartial. And whenever I bought a piece of equipment, I go to your website to look at that. And you talk about a particular grill that you like, and that's the infrared grill that you own.
Well, yes. And just a minor correction, if I may. We do take advertising, but we don't take it. We use a third party. We just set aside little boxes and say, you fill them with the ads. They do the off. When we work on the site, we can't see the ads. We don't care. We don't know. But we do have a guy who works for us full time testing grills and smokers. And that's all he does. And he doesn't know who's advertising. He calls it as he sees it. Gives bad reviews and good reviews. Mm-hmm. If you're shopping to replace that old rust bucket, come down to AmazingRibs.com. There's reviews of over 500 grills and smokers there. And we have an electrical engineer who tests thermometers. So you want a good thermometer. And you don't have to spend a lot. Top of the line, 120. But you can get a really good one for 20 bucks, 30 bucks. So, yeah, we have really good product reviews, along with recipes and techniques.
Thank you for the recipe about beef back ribs. My wife likes pork ribs, but she worships beef back ribs, and I've never really been able to make a great beef back rib for her. I think following your method, I may have success finally. So thank you for including that in the book.
Well, John, you know what I do? I buy a whole beef rib primal, 7-bone beef rib primal, and I just cut the ribs off.
Mm-hmm.
And those I smoke gently, 225 for a few hours. They're fantastic. And now I have a rib roast that is boneless that I can cut into ribeye steaks, or I can cook whole for Christmas.
John?
Yeah.
What about you? Questions, comments, observations, anything that tickled your fancy?
Well, there were so many things. Would you talk a little bit about, I mean, there's just, the book is so full of information, like I'm trying to read my notes really quickly here.
Can I share a couple of the methods that are in the book? The best way to start a charcoal fire is a gadget called a charcoal chimney, and it looks like a big coffee can. You stick some newspaper in the bottom, charcoal in the top, and it lights the charcoal. I'm out there by my grill. I'm going to do some steak one night. I light my charcoal chimney. It's dusk. It's getting dark. And I turn around, and I look back at the charcoal chimney, and there is a pencil tip blue flame coming out of that charcoal chimney. It looks like the back end of an F-35. I reach for a cast iron frying pan and I set it on top of the charcoal chimney and I get my gun thermometer. You need a probe thermometer for meat, but a gun thermometer for measuring frying pans. And it's 800 degrees and the light bulb goes off. I love Chinese food. I cook it all the time in my kitchen, but it's never as good as my neighborhood Chinese joint. And the reason why is if you've ever seen a Chinese kitchen, they use a wok, and it sits on top of a bloody darn volcano. Mm-hmm. The heat coming out from under that wok is amazing. And there it is, coming out of the top of my charcoal chimney. So I run inside and start chopping up my steak, and my wife jumps in, and she's chopping up the vegetables, and we made a killer stir fry. And if you want to do Asian food as good as the Chinese restaurant, cook it on top of a charcoal chimney. Now, there's a couple of other tricks that are in the book that I don't have time to get into it. Pick up the book and it'll show you how.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Here's another one that's absolutely fascinating that I love. Everybody loves fried chicken, but nobody cooks it at home. And the reason they don't is because it just makes a bloody mess of the kitchen counter, the range top gets on the floor, sets off the smoke alarm, the house stinks. Go out to your gas grill. Turn on one burner, put a cast iron Dutch oven or any kind of a big pot on top of the flame, pour 2 inches of oil in there, dredge your chicken in flour and whatever else you want to dredge it in, and drop it in 350 to 375. That's your magic number for deep frying. Fry your chicken on your gas grill outside where it doesn't matter if it spatters, it doesn't matter if it smokes. When it's done, you take it off and put it on the side of the grill where the burners are off. It drip dries and stays warm. Put another batch in the oil. Now you can have fried chicken every night of the week.
Meathead, you're a national treasure. The Meathead Method, a barbecue hall of famer, secrets and science on barbecue grilling and outdoor cooking with 114 recipes. If you've been flummoxed with trying to figure out a barbecue book that will really excite you, do it all. And not pander to you and not promise the world, this is the book for you. Also, pick up his first book. Thanks for sharing some time with John and me. We really needed the full hour with you. We're going to rectify that in the future.
This was fun. Always great to talk to guys who know a lot about food. Let's do it again. Bring me back for 4th of July and we'll talk ribs.
Hey, okay. What about that? Perfect. And do you ever get out to California?
Not as much as I used to. I would like to. If there's something cool happening, let's get together.
All right, Meathead, great talking with you. Thanks so much. There he is, Meathead himself. Boy, he lived up to his reputation, didn't he?
He did. it's like you get into the book. It's like I made the mistake of you start reading something. It's like, oh, I didn't know that.
No, it's a page turner.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chef John Ash. Back next week in the KSRO kitchen.
Summer's just around the corner, and it's time to get your home ready with More Home Services. Now's the perfect moment to address your heating and cooling needs. Our expert technicians will conduct a thorough home inspection to find the best offer for your home. Choose from 3 amazing ways to save on a new AC and heating system. Up to $2,500 off and up to $3,000 in rebates, 50% off home insulation,